Anyone trying to buy a home these days knows what it's like to be stuck between a rock and a hard place. Hi, I'm Rob West. Many factors are making home ownership more difficult, but the big ones are higher interest rates and low inventory. Today, I'll talk with Amay Dodson about overcoming those hurdles, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's great to have Amay Dodson with us again today. She's the National Director of Affiliate Relationships at Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program. And Amay, it's great to have you back.
It's so good to be here and spend some time with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Amay, a while back, it was actually cheaper to own a home than to rent. That's no longer the case, is it?
Well, it depends. In some markets, we're hearing about the staggering increase in the cost of rent. So yeah. It's one of those things that requires a professional look at your picture in alignment with the market conditions to decide which is a better value for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Higher interest rates, of course, are a big part of the challenge these days, but so is low inventory. Why are there relatively so few homes on the market these days?
Well, there's a number of reasons contributing to that. Part of it is the fact that there's a continually rising number of what they call new home creations, which are new people needing to buy homes, and the pace of building is not keeping up with that. Plus, the incredibly low rates we experienced a few years ago meant, and people realizing that after COVID that they could potentially do their jobs remotely, we had a surge in people buying second homes. Those are two of the factors that have impacted the inventory shortage for sure.
Yeah, I know millennials are reaching the age where they're having kids as well. They're looking for single family homes. So a lot of factors coming together all at once. And that's why it's so difficult these days, especially for the first time home buyer, to buy a home. Difficult, but not impossible. So what are the best steps that prospective buyers can take?
Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to know before you owe, which means you got to talk to someone who can really assess your situation, because there are a lot of programs out in place that are first-time homebuyer programs and down payment assistant programs. A lot of things that can help people get into homes that otherwise might not realize that they could qualify. So if you talk to a loan officer who can run your credit, talk about your credit profile, discuss your long-term goals and strategies, they can provide you with the marching orders of what you need to do to position yourself to be able to buy a home. It's not impossible. And while the rates are higher than they were, statistically, over the course of mortgage history, they're not that high. So there is an opportunity to get in now, because the way the economists are talking, it's not going to get less expensive. Houses are not going to be losing value because there is going to continue to be a greater demand than supply for some time.
Yeah, I completely concur with that. So how can Movement Mortgage then help a prospective buyer navigate through the home buying process?
Well, it's easy. Actually, if you go to movement.com/faith, you can find a loan officer that is in your geographic area, have that initial consultation. They will help you figure out what steps you need to take. Talking to that licensed professional, and of course we would love to earn your business at Movement, is the first step, because then you know what you have to do. And it's different for everybody based on their economic history and their credit score and where they are geographically.
That's so good. There's so many lenders out there, Amay. What makes Movement different?
Well, we are an impact lender. We define that as any lender who gives at least 10% of their profits away. And at Movement, we give almost 50% of our profits away. So when you do a mortgage with us, it means more.
Oh, I love it. Well, I know you're doing work all over the globe, and we'll have to have you back sometime to tell us about that. But so thankful to have this partnership with you, Amay, and thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
That was Amay Dodson with Movement Mortgage. We're so delighted to have Movement be an underwriter of this program. Listen to this, folks. Since 2012, Movement has given more than $300 million to the Movement Foundation to uplift people and communities across the globe. We know it's important to you to do business with people who share your values, and that's why we're delighted about this partnership. To learn more, you can go to movement.com/faith. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. It was about 60 years ago that Martin Luther King Jr. said these words, "The most segregated hour in the entire United States is 11 a.m. on Sunday morning." He was talking about the church divided, and to some extent, he was right. We live in a divided world, a world that desperately needs to hear the unifying message of Christ, a message that resounds to Psalm 133, "Behold, how good and how sweet it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity." This is what our hearts long for, and in Christ, this is what we're being molded into. A people united around the love and the grace of Jesus Christ in the gospel. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Do you think Mike Pence will wind up testifying against Trump?
I would say Mike Pence will tell the truth and then let the chips fall where they may.
If what Mike Pence would say would be detrimental to the defense of the former president, you'd have the former vice president testifying against the former president with whom he served.
Listen,
we're in bizarro land now.
Today's issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
I'm so thankful you've joined us today for Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to take your calls and questions today as we round out the week. We'd love to stop and get into your story. What are you thinking about today in your financial life? Whether it's living, giving, owing, and growing, any one of the four would be fair game today. 800-525-7000. You know, with seemingly unending financial decisions, we're making financial decisions all the time, large and small. It is interesting to think about the fact that we can simplify our money management decisions into just four. There is our lifestyle, that which we live on. There's our giving, that which we give away to ministry or charity, that which we owe for debt or taxes, and that which we grow for the short and the long term. Live, give, owe, and grow. And God's Word speaks to these, all of them. In fact, there's some simple principles we can pull out of Scripture that can help us think about how we move forward in our money management, starting with the idea that God owns it all, which of course he does, and that he is our abundance, not that he's just the source of our abundance. He is our abundance. And then we accept our role as stewards. Money becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes. So we hold it loosely. We give it generously, cheerfully, freely, sacrificially, proportionately. We're invited into God's story through our giving. And then we're to live with contentment because God has said, never will I leave you or forsake you. That's the big idea. And then in the practical day-to-day, there's really just five simple principles that I think we all can apply. First, we live within our means because that's the key to every financial success. Second, we avoid the use of debt because debt mortgages the future. Third, we set long-term goals because the longer term our perspective, the better the decision we're going to make today. Next, we have margin or cushion because that surplus every month is what allows us to accomplish those long-term goals. And then finally, we give generously because giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. So we live on less than we earn, we avoid debt, we set long-term goals, we have some cushion or some margin, and we give generously. And if we abide by or operate by that perspective, the eternal perspective that God owns it all and we're stewards, and we apply those simple, sometimes hard, but they are simple, simple principles to our financial life, we've at least put ourselves in a position to experience God's best. It doesn't mean we're going to be without hardship. We will have troubling times, but at least we've done our part as a steward to be found faithful, obedience in the same direction over a long period of time. That's the perspective that we want to operate by on this program. Now, I know you have very specific financial questions related to your life today, and that's what we'd love to tackle and help you apply these principles, these big ideas and themes from Scripture to the decisions and choices you're making today. So what are you thinking about financially? Give us a call. We've got some lines open. Our team is standing by. We'd love to tackle your call right now at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Now, before we head to the phones today, let me talk about financial potholes. You know, sometimes a ride down a city street can feel like a trip to the outback with broken pavement and holes in the tarmac, making your chassis rattle around. Well, a really big hole can do some serious damage to your vehicle. I want to look at a few financial potholes that can really shake up your bank account. You'll save money and a big headache if you can steer clear of these. And we'll be diving into your phone calls there in just a moment. I know the calls are coming in as we speak. 800-525-7000. We have room for a few more. All right, let's kick it off here. First one is money transfer scams. Don't send money from your bank account just because someone asked for it. You should be the one to initiate any transfer and verify the recipient. Second, free trials. Don't sign up for a service just because you get 3 months free. You know, when that trial period is up, well, they'll charge you and chances are you'll forget to cancel. In fact, there's entire apps just to scan all of your subscriptions and help you cancel them quickly, but be careful on those free trials. Next, auto-renewing subscriptions. You know, along the same lines, people tend to forget about music, magazine, and streaming service subscriptions, which will continue to renew until the end of time. So save money and cancel as many as you can. If you're an iPhone user, there's actually a place right there in the settings where all of your subscriptions are listed, and you can just cancel them right there on one screen. Cashback rewards. You know, many credit cards offer cashback rewards, but it pays to read the fine print. Remember, cashback only happens when you spend money. So the temptation is to overspend just to get the rewards. Reward cards are fine for regular in-budget spending, but some reward programs come with restrictions on how much or what you can buy. Next, beware of phone and email scams. This is becoming bigger and bigger, so be on your guard here. Never click on links in suspicious-looking emails or text messages. Never share your personal information, access codes, passwords, or PIN numbers by phone or email. Beware of communications claiming that an account has been compromised. If you aren't sure, look up the company's phone number on the internet and verify the claim. Don't call the number listed on a suspicious email. And then finally, bill pay services. Paying your bills automatically can be very convenient, But don't just set it and forget it. Always keep enough in your account to pay the upcoming bills. Review your bills periodically to be sure the charges are correct. This goes especially for credit card charges. I would encourage you to use an app like FaithFi to keep your track of your monthly spending and check out any auto charges that seem unusual. So we can list many other financial potholes, including begging letters from Nigeria, title fraud, insurance, and timeshare offers, but perhaps we'll save those for another day. So in the meantime, there are three positive things you can do to keep your finances traveling smoothly. First, use strong, unique passwords on all of your accounts. Second, keep your software updated, your operating system. And then third, again, download the FaithFi app and set up a personalized spending plan. And then you can monitor all of those transactions as they come through automatically every month. You can download that FaithFi app at faithfi.com. All right, we're ready to dive into your questions today. We've got some lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. You can call right now. To Montana we go. Kelly, you'll be our first caller. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a quick question, maybe. I sold my house in 2023, and I made a pretty good chunk, and I haven't reinvested any of it. And I'm just wondering, how can I figure what taxes I'm going to need to pay on that, plus my wages for the year?
Okay, very good. So let me ask this. You said you sold a home. Was this a home you lived in for two out of the last 5 years?
Yes, for 3.5.
Okay. It was your primary residence?
Yes.
All right. And then are you, in terms of your tax status, are you married filing jointly?
No.
A single?
I'm
okay.
A widow.
Okay.
Single.
Very good. And so how much profit did you make on this property?
$100,000.
That was the profit?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're not going to have any taxes on it, because if you lived in this home for two out of the last 5 years, you can have up to $250,000 in profits that will be excluded from capital gains tax. So you'll have 100% of that proceeds to redeploy without any taxes.
Great. So then how can I figure... that's going to put me in a higher tax bracket for tax season, correct?
No, because that's not income. That was a capital gain, and because it was your primary residence for two out of 5 years, it doesn't count. And capital gains don't factor into your income anyway. So you're going to pay income taxes based on your earned income, not your capital gains. And in this case, all of it is excluded, so you won't even have capital gains. So you're in a really good spot here. I've got to take a break. We'll finish up off the air, Kelly, so you stay right there. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the perfect opportunity to prepare for God's calling on your life. It's easy to make excuses why you can't pursue what God has called you to do, but this program removes those barriers. Flexible class options, an affordable cost, and highly trusted professors. WBS is the school for you, and now is the time to take a next step and prepare for God's calling on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. But there is hope and healing from an abortion. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com.
That's eventideinvestments.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got some phone lines open. We're ready for your questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. You know, I was just talking about in the last segment financial potholes that we want to avoid. I mentioned one of those related to phone and email scams. You know, more and more we have to be on our guard against scams that can come our way, especially as we do more and more business online. You know, we all have financial accounts. We're logging into our bank. We maybe bank with an online bank just to get a higher yield or interest rate. Or even if it's a brick and mortar bank, we're often logging in and accessing our accounts, not by walking into a branch or visiting with a teller, but through the internet. So we just need to be careful as more and more is done through cyberspace. How do we go about that with ID theft being on the rise? What can we do to protect ourselves? Well, number one, secure your information. So you want to make sure that you have your information secured in a fireproof safe. You want to cross-shred documents containing personal or sensitive information when you're getting rid of it. You also want to monitor your credit reports. You know, this is really key for you to be able to pull those credit reports from each of the three bureaus at annualcreditreport.com. That's where you can get those for free, and that's actually a government site that allows you to access your credit file. It won't have your credit score, but it will allow you to access your credit file. Here's why that's important. You can be monitoring that information to make sure that you're not seeing new accounts opened in your name that you didn't initiate. You can also add a credit freeze to your credit reports, which just simply means no one will be able to access your credit file, a lender, for the purpose of opening a new account without that PIN number. So typically what would happen is, let's say you're going out to buy a car, you know you're going to be taking on a new loan, you would contact your credit bureaus, all three of them, and provide that PIN number to quote-unquote thaw your credit report or unfreeze it. And then you could go do business the way you want, and then you refreeze it. But in between the time you're going out to get a new loan, if somebody else were to fraudulently try to open an account in your name because they've assumed your identity, well, they'd be stopped in their tracks without that PIN number. This is a free service, and you can do it with each of the three bureaus: Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. You can also add a fraud alert if you've ever been the victim of ID theft, and this is going to encourage lenders and creditors to take extra steps to confirm your identity before issuing credit. It's just a notation on the report different from that PIN number with the credit freeze. So hopefully those are two steps that will help you stay more safe online. I'll have a few more later in the broadcast. All right, let's get back into your questions today. We'd love to hear from you at 800-525-7000. Let's head to Oklahoma. Hi, Shelley. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a question about the rumors that are going around about the banks going to a credit system. There's supposed to be 100 banks that have already signed on to it, and that will do away with our currency, and a lot of us have savings in these banks, and we're curious, what do we do? Do we pull our savings? Do we invest in gold, land, whatever, or do we leave it and just let the chips fall where they may?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, there's several things going on here, Shelley, that may be all converging in that question. So let me try to pick that apart and help you understand what's actually happening. So the most recent development happened last month. It's called FedNow. And FedNow is basically a 24/7 payment processing offering from the Federal Reserve. So this is a brand new offering that's an immediate payment system. So the current model right now, apart from FedNow, involves electronic payments that don't happen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They take the weekends off. And FedNow allows financial institutions to deliver end-to-end faster payment services to their customers. Now, you and I won't sign up for FedNow, which is, you know, through the Federal Reserve. It's a bank that actually participates or signs up with FedNow, and that's the platform that they're going to use to facilitate payments whenever you're trying to transfer money. So if you want to transfer money on the weekend or there's a business transaction that's happening, you know, in different, you know, in the middle of the night because it's, you know, across borders, FedNow will allow that to happen immediately and instantaneously. That's not a digital currency. It's not even a platform for a digital currency to run on. It's a payment processing service that's more efficient, and many of the banks are right now signing up for this new payment service developed by the Federal Reserve. That's not the digital currency that we're hearing about, and it's not, in my view, anything to be concerned about at all. Now, what about a digital currency? So that would be a replacement for the U.S. dollar, essentially a digital dollar, what's often referred to as a CBDC, a central bank digital currency. Well, 90% plus of the world's gross domestic products are under currencies with nations looking into digital currencies. So this is happening worldwide. Is it a cause for concern? Absolutely. It would be a massive loss of privacy if every transaction ran through the Treasury and the government had that kind of visibility into all of our financial transactions and conceivably could even implement social controls. So imagine, you know, you get to, quote unquote, your limit for the month on fossil fuels, and they say no more money can be spent on gasoline. I mean, some say that's far-fetched. Others say, no, that's very conceivable. I don't want to find out, right? So that's why Congress is very divided over this issue of a CBDC. Some states have even gotten ahead of it and said that we're not going to allow it, even if it comes to pass. The bottom line is the Fed can't do it. The president can't do it. It's going to require an act of Congress, and Congress is deeply divided over it. We're years away from it coming to pass, and there's going to be much debate on it before it were ever to see the light of day. So what does that mean for you and I? Well, I don't think that means we exit the banking system. Despite our challenges in this country, we still have the biggest and strongest economy in the world. The U.S. dollar is the reserve's world currency. There's no one even close to challenging it. Could that happen down the road if the BRICS nations were to really go on the gold standard? Sure, but that's a big if. I have a hard time believing they'd actually follow through on that. So I think for right now, we continue to manage money according to God's principles, stay in the banking system, and invest for the long term in a way that's diversified and prudent. Shelley, thanks for your call today. God bless you. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful that you're joining us today for Faith and Finance. Hey, a little preview of what's coming next week here on American Family Radio. It's National Truth for Youth Bible Week coming up all week next week. You're going to be able to partner with us and Revival Fires International to put thousands of free Bibles in the hands of students who make a commitment to pass that Bible along to a friend as they head back to school this year. It's an incredible opportunity for us to put, Lord willing, 60,000 Bibles in the hands of teens. It's coming up all week next week here on American Family Radio. So be ready to respond next week as we deploy National Truth for Youth Bible Week. All right, back to the phones we go. 800-525-7000. It looks like we have one line open. Let's go to Texas. Hi, David. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. It was a follow-up to a question you answered about selling your residence and the tax liabilities.
Yes, sir.
It used to be that there was a one-time exemption that you could use to avoid the taxes. Based on your answer, that no longer exists, or...
Right. Yeah. So you every 2 years you could use that exemption where you exclude up to $250,000 or $500,000 as a married couple of profit on your primary residence. So you have to live there as your primary residence for 2 out of the last 5 years. And as long as you comply with that 2 out of 5 year rule, then you can use that multiple times. So that's, that is an option. With a 1031 exchange, that'd be the other way that folks often will take a profit and not eliminate it, but they'll at least move it forward by reinvesting it within 180 days into another similar investment property. So if you have not a property you're living in, but a property you're using for investments, you could essentially take the proceeds, redeploy them in another investment property within a certain window of time, and then you'd push that capital gains down the road. So you wouldn't have to realize it today and you could keep that money working for you. But neither of those have a one-year requirement on them.
Okay, so even if you did it in the past and didn't reinvest it and use that one-time exemption, you can still do it again and there's no requirement to reinvest that profit into another residence.
That's right. You could continue to move it forward in a 1031 exchange, into a future property as long as you deploy that and close that sale within 180 days of the home you were selling.
But that requirement is not contingent upon doing that. It's you could not invest that money in another home and still not pay taxes on it?
Only if it was your primary residence. So are you talking about an investment property or your primary residence?
No, I'm just talking primary residence. I previously sold a home and didn't reinvest it until years later when I bought another home. I thought I would be excluded from, profit tax because I'd already done it once.
No, you can exclude capital gains from the sale of a primary residence once every 2 years. So as long as, it's been 2 years and you've lived in that home for 2 out of 5 years, you can take that capital gains exclusion up to $250,000 or $500,000. You could do it every 2 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I bought another property years later, and I've been in this property for 15 years. So if I sold it next year, then I wouldn't have to reinvest it necessarily into
Absolutely
another home.
Not. No, you never have to reinvest it with your primary residence. You would just take those funds, and then you would redeploy. You could do whatever you want with them. You could stick it in savings. You could invest it. You could buy another piece of property. It doesn't matter. As long as you were there 2 out of 5 years, you'd have the $250,000 or $500,000 exclusion.
Yeah, that's great to know. Well, thank you for your radio station and answering my question.
Absolutely, David. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling today. To Tennessee. Hi, Bill. Go right ahead.
Oh, hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm in a situation where I have one house that I only owe, $3,000 on it in the past 3 years. And my son lives in it, and he pays me kind of rent sometimes. But so I'm getting older, and I'm thinking, okay, how am I trying to set up my, how am I, to distribute my stuff with a will or a trust? Or I talked to the title and deed company here in town. They said I could just sign put him on the deed, and we would be co-owners. So if I pass away, he would just automatically own the house.
Yeah, that's true. That's going to create one challenge, though, and that has to do with taxes. So if you put him on the deed, essentially you'd be making a gift of whatever percentage of that property you gave him. So let's say you co-owned it, you each own 50%, you'd be making a gift to him of 50% of that property. That's not taxable. You'd need to let the IRS know that on the gift tax form. There's no taxes due. It's just going to eat away at your lifetime exclusion. Anything you gift this year beyond $17,000 is going to go against your $12 million lifetime exemption. So unless you plan to give away more than $12 million, you don't have to worry about that. So no taxes there. Everything's good. Now, he's co-owner to the property. The problem is when you die, if he receives, if he is already an owner of that property, he's going to inherit or carry with him your original cost basis for determining capital gains. So when he sells it, anything above what you originally paid for it is going to be considered a capital gain, and then he's going to pay capital gains tax on it. If he receives it through an inheritance, so you continue to own it yourself, and then when you pass away, he gets it through a will or a trust or a transfer on death deed, now he has the property, but he gets a stepped-up basis. So the new cost basis for determining capital gains has been stepped up to the market value as of the date of your death, which means if he were to turn around and sell it, he wouldn't pay any capital gains. And if he sells it years later, at least the capital gains tax would be determined on the market value as of the date of your death versus your original purchase price. Does that make sense?
My question is, so the value since I bought it 20 years ago has tripled.
Yeah.
So
you don't want him to get it through a gift. You want him to inherit it, because when he inherits it at your death, the cost basis is no longer what you paid for it 20 years ago. It jumps up to the current market value as of the date of your death. So theoretically, if he were to turn around and sell it the next day, he would have zero taxes due because the cost basis has been stepped up to the date of your death, which means you don't want to just put him on the deed. You want him to inherit it through a will or a trust or a transfer on death deed.
Wouldn't he have to pay more taxes on it?
No, there's no inheritance tax. No, there's no inheritance tax whatsoever. So he can inherit as much as he wants. The only taxes would be due by your estate, and currently estate taxes don't kick in until $12 million. Is your estate bigger than $12 million?
No, sir.
Okay, so then you're good. Nothing to worry about there. So here's the bottom line. You want to use a TOD deed probably in your state. Let me just see if you're in Tennessee. Do we have transfer on deaths? No, it doesn't recognize transfer on death deeds. So you need to use either a will or a trust. So I'd talk to your estate planning attorney, and that's the best way to pass that property to him. God bless you, Bill. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing a million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what could it hurt? What could it hurt? What could it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at AFA.net.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the Faith Fi app yet? You need to do that today because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got some callers holding. We will get to your calls. We ask you to be patient for just a moment because it's Friday, which means Jerry Boyer stops by here in this segment to weigh in on the markets, the economy, and his latest activities in corporate engagement. Jerry, great to have you with us, my friend.
Great to be with you, as always, my friend.
Jerry, you and I were on yesterday doing our quarterly economic webcast for the Kingdom Advisors, and boy, you shared a lot of great information there, just as you've been doing an analysis on where we find ourselves here in the state of the U.S. economy. Would you give us just a high-level overview of what you and your team were sharing?
Well, mostly we were sharing, what had happened in the previous quarter and sort of the economic growth picture, which is okay. I mean, it wasn't negative. It wasn't a recession, but it's kind of weak and it's below average. And they're, and markets are signaling we're probably not going into a recession like right now in this quarter that we're in. But they are signaling continued low growth, and they are signaling continued above-average inflation. So we seem to be settling into a below-average growth rate and an above-average inflation rate. Now, the above-average inflation is, maybe 4%, right? Not 10% like it had gotten up to, but it's still elevated inflation. So this is basically your classic stagflation scenario, just like we had in the 1970s. We did have a short recession about a year and a half ago. And there's still a reasonably good chance that we have a recession, say, later this year. And that is the pattern with the policy mix that we had in the 70s is giving us, we have the same policy mix now, and it's giving us similar results, sort of dipping down to zero or, you know, a little below zero or just a little above these slowdowns and these elevated inflationary numbers. This week, it was kind of, you know, kind of reversing a little bit. You know, the markets were down, so maybe we are going to get a recession, including the markets that are highly sensitive to growth. But today, you know, everything turned around, and that's what happens. There was a relatively strong jobs report, and in Fed land, they think that a good jobs market causes inflation, and we have a good jobs market, so we don't have to worry about inflation. Therefore, they're probably done hiking, and so markets responded to that because this is all about looking forward to what we think the Fed is going to do. So as of yesterday compared to today, because of that strong jobs report this morning, markets are more convinced that the Fed is going to stay pat as opposed to hiking more than they were yesterday. And markets are responding to that today.
Yeah. Jerry, I don't know how much you've been able to dig into the jobs report, perhaps not much, but anything in that report that you would take away just in terms of where the jobs are? It looks like a concentration in healthcare and construction, yes, maybe financial activities, but what did you make of that report?
Yeah, I made the same thing. It's healthcare, which, by the way, healthcare is historically a recession hedge. So there are some cyclical indicators. It's like, we're not creating so many jobs in the places that are associated with growth, like manufacturing. And as I said in the webinar yesterday, by any reasonable standard, we are in a manufacturing recession right now. The manufacturing indicators are in contractionary territory. But because we're going out to restaurants and we're traveling and we're vacationing like we used to, we're not in a recession when it comes to services. So the services expansion is kind of counterbalancing the manufacturing really recession, and that's showing up in the labor market. This labor market I think is not as good as people think it is, and I think what they really miss is, yes, 3.5% unemployment historically is a good rate of unemployment, and it's associated with economic good times. But we have never before in American history had a situation where people were aging out of the labor market faster than they were aging in. So we've got more people turning 65 than we have people turning 18. So on net, we're losing workers, which creates a structural worker shortage. A lot of that has to do with Roe versus Wade, and that's 70 million people. And therefore, we're always going to tend to have low unemployment, not because the economy is good, but because we don't have enough people to do the jobs. So whether you don't have enough jobs for the people, or whether you don't have enough people for the jobs, in either case, that's not good for the economy.
Yeah, that's really helpful, Jerry. All right, one more question. Fitch has downgraded the U.S. credit rating, as you know, Jerry, to AA+ from AAA, which is a ranking the U.S. had at Fitch, at least, since 1994. You know, Buffett said this is not something to be concerned about. It seems like it's in line with what you and I have been talking about for quite some time about the trajectory that we're on here with debt levels in this country. But what did you make of that downgrade?
Yeah, I disagree with Warren Buffett. I think it is something to be concerned about. I don't think it's something to panic about because it's still a very high rating. But when a rating agency cuts our ratings, and that happened, by the way, with another rating agency early in the Obama years, and regulatory pressure was brought to bear on the agency. So these agencies, they depend on the federal government to stay in business, the Securities and Exchange Commission. In essence, they're licensed. So when they criticize the U.S. government, they're criticizing the boss. Yeah. So if Fitch did this, it was a pretty strong case for it, and we might see others do it as well. So, why the press played it as well is because those Republicans, play chicken with the debt ceiling. Fitch did mention the gamesmanship over the debt ceiling, but it also mentioned the debt. That's a problem too. It's not just that Republicans were trying to stop the debt limit from going up and, flirting with default. Why were they doing it? Because debt is getting out of control. So Fitch also did mention the debt levels, which it should, because they're actually quite bad. On the other hand, the United States has the ability to print money. It is a colossal economy. We don't have a history of default. We have our problems, but our problems are less than the problems of most of the world. And so you and I have been talking about how we really do need to start really getting concerned about the debt. There's been a lot of Christian panic about debt and the coming economic collapse really since the 70s or 80s. That was premature, and you know, we knew that. I mean, some of us knew that. But there does come a point where the debt is actually high enough that it is a concern.
Yeah.
And you and I have been talking about that for the past couple of years, and now Fitch is acknowledging what you and I have been talking about. I don't know, maybe they're listeners.
Could be. All right, Jerry, let's switch. Yeah, exactly. Let's switch gears here. This came from one of our listeners who wanted me to put this in front of you. I think it's a great question. She writes, I've heard that three companies, including Vanguard and BlackRock, are possibly facing a class action lawsuit related to their involvement in ESG practices. The majority of my investments are with Vanguard. What is this about, and what effect would the lawsuit have on my investments? Are you familiar with this, and what do you think?
Yeah. Vanguard does have a lawsuit against it, a class action lawsuit over ESG. But it's interesting, it's coming from the left rather than the right. It's a charge of greenwashing, which that whole ESG world really does have a problem. If they say, we're ESG, we're sustainable, you know, we're against fossil fuels, we want a better tomorrow, we're going to stop the, you know, the water from rising. And then the investment portfolio is almost identical. Just a regular passive investment portfolio. Then environmental activists are coming forward and saying, you're greenwashing. You're talking, you're portraying yourself as sustainable, but you're not sustainable. So that, I mean, they were supposed to be kind of placating the left, and it's not working. The left is getting more demanding. Now, there are conservatives who are kind of rattling the sabers a little bit about lawsuits. There isn't currently a conservative lawsuit against any of those on these issues, but state attorneys general are questioning whether they're fulfilling their fiduciary obligation by imposing what appear to be social and political causes in a financial context. So it's one thing to be against fossil fuels for social or political reasons. It's another thing to tell an oil company they should do less oil and pretend that that's going to be good for the oil company.
Right.
You know, that it's actually financially good for the investors. So, you know, we don't have anything like that now, but I move in those circles, and I think it's pretty likely we will have something. I don't think it's I don't think the threat of a class action lawsuit is relevant to the investor decision. I think what is more relevant to the investor decision is, if you think we should keep using fossil fuels, or you don't like a lot of what's going on with kind of the culture war stuff in these companies, then I think you need to look at a Vanguard or a BlackRock, and I think State Street is the other one they're probably referring to, which are voting for the most part against the values of probably most of the people who are listening right now. So when you hire them, you are giving your vote to them as well. When you put your money in that fund, you've given your vote away. And I'm just doing an analysis of Vanguard now. And in the past, they have a history of voting for some pro-abortion resolutions, for example. And they've been voting against resolutions that have to do with religious freedom that have come from more our side of the aisle. So, you know, I'm not personally, I wouldn't be happy with the way, if I were a Vanguard customer, I wouldn't really be happy with the way they were voting with my dollar and lobbying with my dollar. So to me, that would be more a concern. But these class action lawsuits, to the degree that they come, aren't going to shut the lights out. You're not going to end up with your mutual fund going bankrupt and you holding the bag. That's not really an investor risk, as far as I can tell. These are well-financed companies. They can well afford to pay a fine if they have to with this stuff. I'd be more concerned about, if you don't like ESG policies, I'd be more concerned about them pursuing those ESG policies with your money.
Yes. Well said, Jerry. Boy, we covered a lot of ground today. Really appreciate your insights, as always. God bless you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
God bless you.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer, president of Boyer Research. He's our resident economist. And just finishing where he landed today, you have the opportunity to allow your values to be expressed as you deploy capital through faith-based investments and avoiding companies who are perhaps lobbying for issues that are unrelated to the primary business and conflict with your values. So being educated is really the key. Donna in South Carolina, I know you've been patiently waiting. I'm going to ask Robert Youngblood to get your phone number, and let's see if we can get you on first on Monday, because I want to help you tackle that question about your TSP plan and where you should be invested. Thanks for your patience today, and we'll get you on real, real soon. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. I couldn't do this without my team, Robert Sutherland, Devin Patrick, and Robert Youngblood. On behalf of them and everybody else that makes this program happen, have a great weekend. Come back and join us next week for Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.